brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Hey man, got a light? It's time for Smokes.
Hey, welcome to this Smokes episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. We are the best thing on at 2 a.m. I am one of your hosts here, good old boy Mike, and joining me here at the table is good old boy Nathan.
How's it going?
Good old boy Barger.
Good eye, Mike.
Did you work all day on that accent?
Maybe.
In the mirror.
You know, I watched a few Paul Hogan movies last night. It was good.
Do we need to rate that, maybe?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh.
Good old boy Justin has joined us as well.
Hello.
Well, our smoke segments are all about cigars and, well, anything that is, you know, smoked.
Yeah.
But today we definitely have some cigars to go over. Good old boy Nathan is going to tell us what we're going to be discussing on today's episode all about Crown Heads.
So today we've got the Four Kicks Juarez, the Luminosa, the Headley Grange, the Four Kicks Especial Sublime, and the Mil Diaz.
Yeah. So a really great lineup that we have on this takeover edition of our Smokes episode with all things from Crown Heads. Well, if this is your first time embracing this topic, we're going to let you know that you can go back to find out all about the basics of cigars. Check out our Cigar 101 episode. A link to that episode is in our show notes, or you can ask your phone, play podcasts, Sip, Suds, and Smokes, Cigar 101, and it'll be right there for you. So you'll get to hear all about sailing and, you know,
that's right,
how to cut your cigar properly.
Mm-hmm. That Christopher Columbo.
You could learn what a Petite Corona is, except we forgot to talk about that. So, here we have that. Well, Justin gets the honors of going over our smokes ratings for today. Okay, Justin, so the accent challenge of the day is to sound like the king, since this is a Crown Heads episode. Unless you want to try to tackle the queen, you know, instead
of this one. But, yeah, well, I wish I had this one. Right?
Be careful what you wish for.
That's right. That's right.
I can change things on the fly rather quick.
That's right.
It's good to be the king.
It's good to be
all
the
right,
king.
Good old boy Justin, take her away.
So we're going to discuss one smoke ring. This sucked even before it was lit.
That sounds like the piss boy. That doesn't sound like the king.
Can I change your linen, sir?
Need to hear some heart.
Two smoke rings. Do you really have to light this three times?
That's better.
Sounds like Hermione.
Three smoke rings. Very nice. Now just go away so I can enjoy this.
That's right.
Yep. So, I don't know. That was okay. I don't know that I believe that he was the king, you know, going over those.
Should I do it as the queen?
Honestly, I'm in for that.
Yeah.
I want to hear a little bit of the queen, you know.
A taste, if you will.
Okay.
Let's hear some heart from you.
One smoke ring. This sucks. Even before it was lit.
So much better. You know.
God save the queen.
Well, yes, please.
Save the queen.
Help this boy, please. Attend my husband.
Everybody's leaving England.
There you go. Well, we have an exciting episode lined up for today, and Barger is going to give us a background on all things Crown Heads.
All right. So Crown Heads is the brainchild of John Huber. He was the face, some of you remember, long ago with CAO. But when CAO sold to General or whoever it was that they sold to, John Huber started his own line called Crown Heads, and it has not disappointed. So Crown Head is a brand that's been around for a while now. They've worked exclusively with two factories. So Tabacalera La Alianza, if I'm saying that right, is a Dominican factory owned by Ernesto Perez Criollo Jr. And they also work with my father's cigars, and that's a Nicaraguan-owned factory by the Garcia family. While continuing to work with these partners over the past years, Crown Head's begun to add additional manufacturing partners, but they've kind of stuck close to their roots. So Crown Head's also started working with Drew Estates at the La Gran Fabrica factory. And out of the factory was a regional release known as the Buckeye Land, which you can only get that in a couple of regions in America. It's not sold everywhere. This was also followed up by the Hawaiian Regional 2019. It's called the Crown Heads Piano Espial 2019. I probably butchered that, but I don't speak that language. And the La Colincio, it's a project Crown Heads worked with Drew Estates and their master blender, Willie Herrera, and it's highlighted by the Connecticut Broadleaf wrapper. Now, what we're going to be talking about, first cigar we're going to be talking about, is the Juarez Chihuahua.
So I have one quick tale before we charge into the cigar.
Yeah.
So it's really funny that, so John and I actually shared a office building here. We are actually recording at the Dude in the Basement Studios in Nashville, Tennessee. And I actually used to have an office on Second Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And literally our offices were right beside each other.
Sure.
And we used to always go down to the beer cellar, which is it is a hole in the wall place.
Hole in the wall.
It was underneath Hooters, what was in the rest of the building. And
underneath Hooters.
Oh, yeah.
Underneath
Hooters. Yeah. It's like the beer cellar is an understatement.
Where nothing good happens.
Honestly, like, if you can imagine like eight tables and a dartboard and eight taps on the wall.
Yeah, and it just reeks of bad decisions.
Yeah.
That's good. It's like build your tavern.
But it was really interesting because that was the heyday for CAO.
Oh,
and it was really great, to go down. And I ended up talking with, a bunch of the folks from CAO. And I just, I remember when, the buyout came for them. And, it was just a very interesting time, to be around them. Anyway, it was just a very strange connection, that I have with them.
Yeah, it kind of makes it close to home, huh?
It does. So you were telling everybody about the Juarez Chihuahua.
So the Juarez Chihuahua, the size that we smoked was a 5.5 by 48 ring gauge. They come in a box kind of 20, and their wrapper is a San Andreas.
What's your girth?
That's right. That's your girth right there, baby.
What's your girth, man?
So your wrapper is the San Andreas, and your binder is an Ecuadorian Sumatra, and your filler is a Nicaraguan Dominican. Now, the Crown Heads Juarez Chihuahua is a premium cigar that was created at the boutique factory Tabacalera Picardo in Nicaragua. It's draped in a dark, savory San Andreas wrapper, which is delicious if you haven't had one. It utilizes the Ecuadorian Sumatra tobaccos for the binder and filler, and categorizes as a full body. You will taste notes of dry woods, cocoa, and gentle spices, sometimes a little earth as well. So that's what we got on that.
So you and Justin had a chance to go over this. So what do you guys think about this stick?
Well, I have like a kind of a dull cutter, but it was still easy to cut. It was attractively constructed. I got brown sugar and wrapped cedar on the throughout the cigar. It was kind of on the sweet side, but not overly so. And I never had to relight it, so I enjoyed that. And it's not complex, but it was good. What'd you think?
So I liked it. It burned really well for me. Maybe it was my atmosphere where I was smoking, but I never had to relight it as well. Very earthy to start with. A lot of dry, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just kind of earthy to start, and then it got your spices kicked in after you light. And then when you get further down to it, the spices kind of compact in, and it just makes for a really smooth cigar, I thought. For a budget line stick, this is not a bad stick.
Mm. Well, our smokes rating for the Juarez Chihuahua is going to be 2. And we're out of the gate. So this was really, it was really interesting to come back to a lot of this product line, because I think the thing that struck with me was that I had many of these products as they were being introduced.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was seeing them almost in a standalone, you know, mode. And to be able to sit down and smoke all of these in a shorter period of time,
right?
It was interesting to see the commonality and the variations that they had, you know, from one factory to another, you know, that they were actually doing all of these on. So I see a lot of head nodding around that, because
yeah,
that was one thing that I think when you work with the manufacturer that is working across, you know, multiple blenders, you mm-hmm. know, for this, that you're getting individual characteristics of both making that cigar physically as well as the products itself, you know, that they're yeah. actually using have some variation. As opposed to some other lines, like the first thing that came to mind was Davidoff, where, you know, it is incredibly consistent right. you know, across your entire yeah. you know, product line. So this is where you have a common brand, but you have a lot of variation basically under the hood.
Well, what I like about it the most is it's easy to make cigars taste the same across the board, but it's hard to have different flavor profiles for your catalog. You know, the blending that it takes, the time it takes that it comes to do that, I think they've done it really well with their catalog.
Yeah. So, you know, definitely the exercise we're going to go through today, if you have had some of the same experience where you have tasted these like one at a time, like every 6 months or every year, yeah. you know, go back and have like all 5 of these at once. You
Absolutely.
Know, that was kind of exactly quite right. interesting.
Yeah, it's yeah, interesting for sure.
Well, we'll be right back after the break and talk about more Crown Heads with the Luminoso.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. On today's episode, we are covering a product line takeover with Crown Heads, and we have a few cigars from their product line. We just managed to cover the Juarez, and our smokes rating for that was 2 out of 3, in case you missed that. We're going to charge right into going over the Luminoso, and Justin's going to introduce this product for us.
So, Crown Heads Luminosa, it's in the shape of Toro. It's 6.5 by 52.
What's your girth?
Girth.
And it's
that's going to be a really good t-shirt, by the way.
We're going to have to get like a cigar shirt made yes. that says Girth Brooks on it.
Good yeah. Lord.
We're all about the girth.
I love it.
That's right.
What's under the hood, baby?
Why does your cigar have a cowboy boot on? Don't worry about it.
Comes with a 3-ounce sample that's of right. a personal lube strawberry.
That's right. Here. Strawberry. There you go.
Thought we were on Icy Hot, boys.
Bio freeze. Come on now. Yeah,
this is a family-friendly cigar show. We need to keep it clean.
That's right.
So it's a mild to medium smoke. For me, it was more on the mild side. It's a Dominican Republic stick. It's a Connecticut shade wrapper, Colorado color, and proprietary binder and filler, so they don't want to share that. And it was hand-rolled, long filler grade, blended by John Huber.
There you have it. So the master, you know, at work. So some of my own review notes here about the Luminoso. Really spicy foot. Definitely one of those things that it just was kind of catching me off guard because I wasn't expecting, you know, that much spice. So definitely for me to write that down. I thought the first third was very spicy. It was incredibly abrasive. Mm-hmm. You know, the second third, the draw really got a whole lot easier with this, but it did get a lot woody.
Sure.
It's like puffing on a campfire. Is the best way I can kind of describe, you know, the middle part of this. The final third actually kind of moved back to spicy and kind of finished quick ahead of the band, you know, when it turned. So yeah. I was kind of sitting there, you know, remember kind of staring at the stick going, really? Really?
That's where we're going today?
Really? That's where we're going to go today? I actually thought it was the worst stick of the flight. Not my favorite. Justin, what did you think of this?
So the spice for this stick was teasing me. It was all front palate, and you expected to have a lot more notes, but it really didn't deliver them. Before you got to any of the spice that was there, it was either cedar or oak. Mine was pretty easy in the beginning. The middle third got hot. And then the last third, I don't know if they put in less secret filler or what.
It's proprietary.
It mellowed out again.
It's proprietary.
It's proprietary crappy finish.
That's right. Secret, though.
So while it wasn't the best stick I ever had, I never smoked one that went quite that way.
Yeah, so I think definitely, you know, being one of the worst, you know, products in the flight earns our smokes rating of 1 out of this. So sorry about that. But this is probably not something I would probably go back to, you know, once again.
If you've never smoked one, at least try one.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, they can all be hits.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Well, next up is going to be the Hedley Grange Estupendo.
See, I got it right. There
almost
you go.
There. Almost
the
there.
Eighth, got it. The eighth try.
That's right.
Almost was
I mean,
there.
I think we're over 8. I almost saw you in the mirror there. In the bathroom going
almost over. Almost there, yes.
Words are right. Hard.
Yeah, I can already hear people saying.
Banned once again.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. You know.
Lost half the following.
Inviting Mike to the marketing meeting? No. No. That's not going to happen. All right, so the Hedley Grange. I'm just going to say Hedley Grange instead of saying Estupendo wrong another 14 times. It's made in the Tabacalera La Alenza factory location in Dominican Republic. The dimensions are 5.5 by 52, or
girth.
What is your girth?
What's your girth mean?
The fill is from Nicaragua. The binder is from Nicaragua. And the wrapper is from Ecuador. So the concept of the Hedley Grange came somewhere in the summer of 2011 while we're in the midst of finalizing the blend of what would become our first release of 4 Kicks. The tweet was posted to the effect of, I wish we could blend a cigar that tastes the way the drums sound on when the levee breaks.
That's awesome.
The steady sound of John Bonham's drums on that track are unforgettable. Heavy, plodding, ominous, and thick. I'm sorry we're not playing this in the background.
Yeah, right? You know, we didn't have the rights for it.
Yeah, sorry. Our funds ran short. What may not be widely known is the signature that signature drum sound is that the Hedley Grange is a former poorhouse built in 1795 in Hedley, East Hampton, England, UK. The Hedley Grange is best known as a recording venue in the 1960s and the 1970s, and the acoustics of the room at the Hedley Grange in which When the Levee Breaks was recorded is what is credited in large part of giving Bonham's drum lead in that track that unmistakable sound. So, yeah. I really love the, you know, storyline, you know, behind this. And it makes sense, you know, because I'm going to talk about a slightly different version of this in addition to the Estupendo.
Yeah. You'll get it, man. I believe in you.
A couple more times. One more time. Here we go.
Just not even close, yes. I need to do
this. Seek the Holy Grail.
For sure. Right. So I'm going to call it the Toro. How about that?
There you go.
That one stick.
Yeah, that one stick. yeah, my own tasting, notes around the Headley Grange. A lot of touches of leather. So the first third was very mild. Nice, easy draw off this. I remember just kind of sitting there with this moment of, you know, like great anticipation. I'm like, I wonder what this is going to bring.
Yeah.
So the second third was this very nice, even burn. Very easy draw continued. I'm like, wow.
Yep.
So let me get this straight. Start out with an easy draw, continue with an easy draw. Very mild in terms of taste, you know, profile around this. And I found that that really just kind of finished out, you know, much like, you know, that all the way till it turned. And it actually turned well into the band.
Yeah.
So I really thought this really came with a lot of value, you know, since I got to enjoy so much of this particular stick. Barger, I know you had this.
Yeah, it's a great cigar. I enjoyed it. I actually smoked one on the way here today. I've got nothing bad to say about it. The spices, the flavor, the body of it is, it's kind of unmatched. It's one of their staples in their line. So they actually had a couple of special releases on this one, I believe, as well, that have been this fantastic as well. Mm. So, what about you, Nathan?
Yeah, I had pretty much almost the same notes that Mike had. It was so consistent. I do my notes with thirds, just like you did, but yeah. Pretty much consistent the entire way. Didn't start with pepper. It was very mellow and creamy, and then towards the end, I got a little bit of pepper on the side palate. But altogether, it was a pretty impressive cigar. It was actually one of the most highly rated of the line that we did.
Yes.
In my opinion.
So I actually ran into a really cool version of this that, you know, floats along with the rest of this background, which is the drumstick version.
Oh, yeah.
Of this. And it's not widely available. And I only know of one shop in the Nashville market, you know, where you can pick these up. I honestly don't know how widely distributed the drumstick, you know, version of Headley Grange is. So I
think it was a limited run.
Yeah.
So I think that it may have been dispersed, but people that love Crown Heads, as soon as it gets to their shop, they're gone.
So
it's a good stick. I enjoyed it a lot, actually.
The best way I can, I don't know, I don't have the dimensions of the drumstick in front of me, but it looks like a drumstick.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, it's almost the same, you know, size and it's not as long as a typical drumstick. You know, it's probably maybe half that length of a drumstick. But it feels that way, you know, in your hand, you know, as well as just, you know, it's kind of one of those cigars that I was okay with holding it in my mouth, you know, because it just wasn't really very heavy. And thank you very much, Nathan.
It's 7.5 by 38 ring gauge.
What's your girth?
That's right.
But
that's like a Petite Lancero.
Yeah, exactly what that is.
And those are some of my favorite cigars are Petite Lanceros. They just smoke really well.
Yeah, so I probably enjoyed that particular size variation of the Headley Grange more than I did, you know, the one that we just talked about.
Hands down.
I thought it had a lot of the same draw characteristics where it was very consistent. So you have a much longer cigar. And I would have really thought that the draw would have, you know, just quit, you know, somewhere around halfway. Mm-mm. But, man, it was really good. I remember just how consistent the burn was, you know, the whole time. The burn line was really even. I don't remember relighting the cigar at all.
Yeah, consistency is a big factor.
So I would definitely encourage anybody to seek out the Headley Grange in any size. And our smokes rating for this is going to be a 3. So Nathan's going to talk about our next product, which is the Four Kicks Kappa Especial Sublime.
So I thought this was actually a really interesting cigar. To start off with, so the size, it was 6 inches by a 54 ring gauge. Usually comes in a box of 24. Wrapper is Ecuadorian Sumatra. Binder's Nicaraguan. The filler is Nicaraguan and Dominican. The Four Kicks Kappa Special Sublime is the latest release from the Crown Heads crew. This amazing cigar started as one of the final test blends for the original release of the Four Kicks. In fact, it was the cigar that was prepared by master blender Ernesto Perez Carrillo Jr. Making the Kappa Special unique is the use of the Sumatra wrapper and Dominican tobacco in the filler. So, I thought this was a super interesting cigar. So me and Barger were just talking about, actually, the Four Kicks.
Yeah.
We decided this because it has four different flavors that kind of fluctuated throughout
the four. So good.
Yeah, it was interesting.
So good.
It really does taste like four different cigars. When I lit it, it was super bold, and I got kind of red pepper, and it was just super bold.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, and then towards the middle, started to get a little bit sweet, mm-hmm. like a cinnamon type spice, and it was really tasty and nice. And then towards the end, the pepper kind of kicked back up again. So it really was like,
yeah,
it changed so much. The flavor really did fluctuate a lot.
I've been a fan of this cigar since their first release. I remember when their first release came, and it was just glorious. That cigar was really hands down hard to beat that year. And what's that?
I was just agreeing, and there were a lot of head nodding about it. Yeah.
Oh,
I completely agree. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And just the spiciness and the bold flavors that you get from it. It's really hard to contend with. So if I'm in a humidor surrounded by hundreds of options and I can't think of what I want to smoke, I'll grab a Four Kicks. Because that's fair. I know they're consistent. Every time I pick one up, I have the same draw. I have the same spice. I have the same consistency, which is what I look for in a cigar. Mm. You know, and so I can't tell you how many of these I've purchased over the years.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an incredibly surprising cigar in terms of it changing flavors.
Yeah.
Several times, which I thought was incredible. But I thought, in terms of their super dark cigars, I thought the Imperioso was kind of interesting as well because it's so dark. But this one is also very bold. Anyways, I think they're both incredible.
Right,
they're good sticks.
Yeah, and I think that wrapper is, you know, a key differentiator, you know, for this one. Barger, what's your notes on this one?
I mean, you know, it's funny you guys wrote notes down, but I've smoked so many of these, I didn't write any notes down for it. No, I didn't write any notes down because I know that when I smoke it, I'm going to enjoy it. And you know, I get the pepper off the light. I get, you know, the sweetness, mildness towards the center, and then I hit that pepper again. And it's just like, as you were saying, like, I really don't have anything to contest with your thoughts on it because I think that that's exactly how they smoke for me as well.
Yeah.
And it's kind of refreshing to see someone else have that same experience because I enjoy that cigar so much.
I was very pleasantly surprised by how it changed.
Yeah.
So it started off, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. I keep these in my humidor at home. So if I can't think of what I want to do, whether it's working on something at my house or keeping my brain going, I'll smoke a Four Kicks.
It's a heck of a stick.
Justin, what did you think of the Four Kicks?
So I didn't read anything about it or have ever had it before. I had it in preparation for our talk, but it looked like it was going to be a Maduro. So I expected that. And it started off that way, but then I kind of got some of that Drew Estate style sweetness that would come intermittently and visit, and then it would leave. So it was like two cigars in one. I thought it was pretty cool because I hadn't had a cigar actually do that before.
Some of my own review notes around the Four Kicks, it really smelled oily and old leather.
Yeah.
When I picked it up, I was like, wow, oh man, this is gonna be this is gonna be good, you know. And I happened to be hopping on a boat.
You know, here we go. Let's hear this story.
Yeah. So I was going on a trip out in the Gulf, and it was going to be a long 2-dayer. We were staying on the boat overnight.
Okay.
And so I ended up taking several things with me, and this was one of the sticks I brought with me. And I was really looking forward to it. So the first third of this, So it actually reminded me of an experience of the first time I actually visited the Harry Waugh dessert room at I'm brain dead.
Burns.
At Burns, thank you. I just felt underdressed and ill-prepared.
Oh, for sure.
You know, this huge full flavor invasion just says, you know, you really did not pick a pairing worthy of this particular moment.
Sure.
You know, it was like standing right there in the stairwell in the lobby of that dessert room going, I don't know what's about to happen, but this could be really good. I like all the everything that's the aroma that's drifting down into the stairwell. I just can't wait to get in there. But I was 300 miles out in the Gulf and huddled on the lee side of the yacht. That was still just incredibly, you know, ill-prepared for probably both, you know, activities.
Sure, sure.
For sure. The second third, the recovery after the first dash, was really nothing short of amazement. It was incredibly well-constructed, like it has been for a while, or since I've actually experienced this incredibly slow, even burn. I think that was the thing I found myself going, I really just don't want this to be over.
Yeah.
And the oils, you know, that I was picking up on the aroma were kind of giving way to this very deep, you know, kind of tack room leather. And I just, I remember I had a rum with me, you know, on that trip, and I was going, the stick is definitely overwhelming the rum. And I was like, you know, I don't know of a lot of pairings that would really stand up to just, you know, this incredibly full flavor. So it kind of got messy and spicy on the back end, which was kind of, I was like, wow, you know, don't just walk out of the dessert room and leave me hanging and go, no Amaro for you.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
No Digestivo. Come on.
A couple of relights, you know, and this not so deep finish that, you know, that I was really expecting. So we'll be right back and talking about more Four Kicks after this break.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. On today's Smokes episode, we're going through a product lineup from Crown Heads. We've covered some really great cigars so far. And, you know, I feel like we're just getting the conversation started about Four Kicks.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of finishing up some of my own notes about having this cigar, you know, kind of at sea. And, you know, I really just... you know, the first two-thirds of the cigar were so good. And then, you know, just kind of got to the end and I was like, whoa, man, what happened? So I don't know if it was just invasion of the, you know, the sea air or whatever was going on at that moment.
But I'd be willing to bet it's sea air. I would, especially you're drinking the rum that's full of sugars. You said you had it with a rum
on the boat,
which is just rum, packed full of the sugars.
Yeah, maybe so. You know? It was a crappy pairing in the wrong environment.
That's okay, though, because that first two-thirds, you really liked it.
Yeah.
You know, so
John, you need to send me a whole box, and I need to work this out in my own research lab to see, you know, I mean, exactly what was going on.
Don't twist my arm, but I'll help you with that. You know, no big deal.
So, you know, I think a lot of people that I run into, there are like Four Kicks fanatics.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all over the place. This is a huge hit in this product line for them, for sure.
So one thing you mentioned earlier was talking about your ash how your ash held on and you know, first third in, you still had an ash. So that's one thing I've noticed about a lot of the Crown Head lines. So the Headley Grange was the same way for me as this Four Kicks is. You'll get a third of the way down your cigar, and your ash is still hanging on. That construction of the body is still there.
It's a good thing, people.
And it's a great thing. If you're worried about it, you can tap it off.
What's wrong?
That's fine. But once you tap off
your ash.
Once you tap your ash off, you'll notice your flavor changes. And it's really been interesting to me throughout my years of cigar smoking how much it changes the flavor of a cigar. You know, it's not just a pride thing where look how big my ash can be. Ha ha.
It's Although also that.
For some people, it is that. 100%. But for me, it's a flavor and it's a consistency. If I go back and revisit a cigar, is it going to do the same thing? And man, that Four Kicks does the same thing every time.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when I think about all the cigars that I have, I'm guilty of, I really want to see what that cigar is going to bring. And I'm guilty of, you know, just really wonder, you know, especially on that first ash, I'm like, you know, depending on the general size of the cigar I'm working with, you know, it's like, can I get through, you know, the first third, you know, without tapping it, you know?
Sure.
And I really am paying attention to just how dramatically both flavor and draw, you know, are altered, you know, at that moment. And what does a recovery, you know, look like? That's, you know, the way I wrote it on the recovery after the first dash. Sure. You know, is it, you're sitting there kind of suffering, you know, through three or four draws, you know, before it finally comes back around to the point that you had before, you know, you broke off that first ash, or you're just sitting there kind of stuck and going, well, that was a good cigar up until that moment, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the wrong person walking into the room. You're like, damn, really? You know?
That's right. That's right.
And he's back.
Can we get a cigar?
That's right.
Can we get together? What's your girth?
That's right.
What you good, man?
It's like, once you asked, it's like, hello, Newman.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. You know?
So, have you guys run into, like, you know, these rabid, you know, Four Kicks fans?
Oh, all over.
It's like,
all over.
Yeah, it's like, you know, some people I've run into, they have that, you know, they invented fire at CAO or at Crown Edge.
What's funny is I was down in Austin a couple of years ago. Now, they have a cigar called the Yellow Rose that they only distribute in Texas. So it's a Texas exclusive cigar. And it's almost the same vein as the one they do in Hawaii. Well, it's just a regional. So the Buckeye.
Forever.
So the Buckeye is one they released in Ohio, you know, and the Yellow Roses in Texas. And then I'm not even going to butcher it again, the one for Hawaii. But it's fantastic as well, you know. But that Yellow Rose, I've had that Yellow Rose put me down.
Huh.
I'm telling you, you talk about spicy, full-bodied cigar that will just knock you on your butt. That's it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So not a pair with Texas brisket then.
No. You'll be in a food coma and a cigar coma by the end of it.
That's true. I don't think you would want to go to Franklin's Barbecue, you know, and enjoy a Four Kicks. I think you would just kind of be just flat on your back going, what happened, man?
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
I really find that there's a lot of fanboys of Four Kicks with people that work retail, you know, and in a lot of smoke shops. I can't begin to tell you how many I've walked into, and, you know, it's my first time, and I'm like, so what's interesting here? Here's Four Kicks, and I'm like, yeah, I'm quite aware of that, you know. I'm like, you know, it's an amazing cigar, but you know.
Accessibility, man.
Yeah, that's true. It is very widely available, which is really great, you know, especially for Crown Heads. It's probably one of those products, both the Headley and the Four Kicks. I've really seen that around quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, I think where they nailed it out of the park on that is where there's not a cigar shop coast to coast that you can't walk into and find a box of Crown Heads. You know, the four kicks in general. It's you know what you're getting. You know every time you get it, it's consistent. You know, and I think that's something to be said around the board because you know, a lot of you know, there's a lot of cigars that are better and there's a lot of cigars that are worse. But when we go in to look for a cigar, if we can't make up our mind, me personally, if I can't make up my mind, I'm going to grab a Four Kicks. You know?
It's a go-to. Yeah, I agree.
It's a good go-to cigar.
That's a grilling cigar, a golfing cigar, a boating cigar.
That's right.
Yeah. It's
Yeah. It's a go-to. Justin, you run into those, any Four Kicks fanboys?
I wasn't even familiar with the brand before the show. So, no.
Oh, wow. So you're the newest fanboy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, it's very interesting. And I think that this is really coming around as a cornerstone, a very iconic, you know, part of their product line. And I really see that, you know, they put, first they put a lot of work into, you know, producing a really great product.
Right.
But I think the other thing I think they've done a really good job of, I think, is marketing, you know, right behind, you know, a really good product. So I think they have kind of a really good 1-2 punch. They have a great product and they have, you know, coupled with, you know, very good marketing, very wide distribution.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's the reason why they're going to continue to, you know, build on a lot of the success, you know, for this.
Agreed.
I agree.
So if you had to pick like the perfect experience to pair a Four Kicks, you know, what would it be?
Good steak dinner. Oh, yeah. Good cut of steak dinner, a little salt and pepper, 2 minutes both sides, medium rare. Get you a steak.
That does sound nice.
A little bit of bourbon.
Have you noticed that he always pairs cigars with food? Like coffee,
food. Yeah.
You know, I'm not like against food. It.
A couple of those already.
I'm not against it.
I like food.
Yeah.
From my experience, was much different.
Yeah.
It was a scramble in every hole that we birdied was another Bud Light.
Okay.
So mine was Tampa weather with Bud Light. And I thought it was pretty incredible as a pairing. So I'd advise that.
I mean, for me, that just sounds horrible.
It was pretty amazing, actually. Yeah.
Oh, man.
70 degrees in a Bud Light. It was nice.
Oof.
I think it would go great with Kahlua.
Great with Kula. So, Justin, what would be the experience you would pair with a Four Kicks?
Salmon dinner, like coffee and Kula.
There you go. A little Black Russian.
It'll balance out nice.
That's not nice, actually.
Yeah, Black Russians are great.
I might change my pairing.
I was thinking that I would probably pair Four Kicks with that niece or nephew's wedding that I was just counting the moments to leave. And I really needed to figure out a way to just get out of the room.
Yeah.
And firing up a Four Kicks.
Spice
you know,
bomb.
A breath of fresh air.
In the room to go, oh, I'm sorry. I need to go outside in order to enjoy this.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that could be a good escape clause.
Oh, 100%.
You know, that was probably the first thing that came to my mind in terms of, you know, an experience. So, well, let's... rate the Four Kicks Capo Special Sublime is going to be a 3.
All day.
Yep. So, Nathan, do you enjoy smoking a cigar while you're out playing golf?
Well, I don't golf, so yes.
Yeah.
I drove the cart.
You drove the cart.
Keep scorekeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was really good with the pencil.
Because he forgets strokes, so it's like less every time you play.
Well, that's exactly, a horrible pairing of a Bud Light and Four Kicks. I can't think of a worse, you know, beer pairing, you know, to definitely go along with this.
That's fair. It was the day after New Year's Eve as well, so.
Yeah. So taste is subjective at that point.
So yeah, I mean, but a Bud Light and some golf course hot dogs, you know. I mean,
there you go.
It wasn't a bad pairing.
Wow,
there's definitely better pairings.
Oh, 100%.
You should ask it, old boy Dave. What does hot dog water taste like?
So, there you go.
Yeah, he actually used it in a tasting note of a beer that we had. You know, one time I was like
some dog water.
Where was that in the BJCP? You know, tasting guidelines. This tastes like the hot dog water. So I'm like, wow, how would you know that? You know, it's like people say, you know, this has a bit of cat pee in it. How do you know that?
Right.
A hint of cat pee.
It smells like grandma's house.
It's like I was talking with Carrie Ann last night. And she was like, you know, this just really had an aroma that was very akin to, you know, getting sick in it was a club, you know, that was close to her house where somebody's thrown up and they've put down, you know, the stuff to, you know, soak everything up and then they rinse it down with not enough water and it's just stuck to everything. Yeah. It smelled like that. And I'm like, how do you know what that smells like?
She used Rancio.
She's been there, done that.
Nope. Yeah, that's exactly the way it went. So, yeah. Justin, I don't know if you hang out on the golf course and smoke cigars. Yeah, you
do? I have. Yeah.
Yeah. So is that a regular thing, you know, for you? I mean, there are definitely people that I've been on the course that it's like, you know, they're always going to be smoking when they're on the course. I mean, it's just part of the experience.
Yeah.
In the very rare event that my game is going well, I don't get into the cigars. I will have a couple of shots of whiskey because my game just gets better until the third one.
Yes.
Listen, but if my game falls apart, as it usually does, yes, I'm lighting something up.
So what you're saying is that drinking whiskey and smoking cigars is directly proportional to your score. Is that what you're saying?
100%.
Okay.
My score is directly proportional to whether I'm going to smoke and drink.
There you go. That's fair. Contingent on it.
I have a tipping point too. It's four cigars is my sweet spot. And then you get to like six and seven beers and you're like, all right, I can't play anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. And so part of, you know, my game MO is directly proportional to the amount of alcohol that I've consumed. And it's always interesting. My wife knows this incessantly and she's like, have you had something to drink before you go on the course? Because you'll enjoy, you know, while you're playing if you have a drink or two before you go to the course. You know, some people hit the range, some people hit the bar. It's all a matter of, you know,
That's right. You're stretching out either way.
That's right. It's all about the stretch, you know. So I just need to stretch my elbow a little more than everybody else.
Do some curls, if you will.
But then, you know, you get into the problem where you have like, you know, 8 a.m., you know, 7 a.m. tea time and you're like stuck, you know, and it's like, what do you do then, you know?
You have to be a veteran to pregame that.
Oh, yeah, no. I know. I'm not that good. I can drink early and often, but, you know, I can't. That's one of those things I haven't quite mastered, you know, just yet.
So I think our next episode should be Smokes from the Course.
Smokes from the Course.
We should do it remote. We should all go to the golf course together.
That would be funny.
Well, I have to say that probably I don't enjoy the experience of, you know, smoking a cigar on the course. And I think part of it is because you have so many other things that are interrupting, you know, the process, you know, of enjoying the cigar. And actually, when you're driving the golf course and you have the wind in your face, it actually is, you know, artificially kind of, you know, moving air through the cigar in a way that, you know, you actually don't want. And I find myself always struggling with an even burn, you know, when I'm in the golf cart itself. And so, I think that especially I don't usually wire something that I'm enjoying for the first time, you know, on the golf course, because inevitably I know that I'm going to get frustrated because it's going to go out, or, you know, the ash is going to get knocked off, you know.
Or when your chipping game is off.
When you try to putt, you get the smoke in your eyes too.
That's right.
Yeah.
I like doing the cigarillos because you could smoke one while the three people in your cart are doing the scramble.
Well, we had
almost done.
Yeah, that's right.
We had one more quick stick to go over, and I'm sorry, which was the Crown Head Mil Diaz. Barger's going to tell us about this really quick.
Yeah, so we got the Mil Diaz. It's a Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. It's a Nicaraguan in origin. It is not a box pressed. It's binder is Nicaraguan. Its filler is Costa Rican, Nicaraguan, and Peruvian. It's a quality cigar. I really had enjoyed this cigar. Crown Heads is quickly becoming impressive with what they're releasing currently. I'm real happy with that cigar.
Well, our smokes rating for the Crown Head Mil Diaz is going to be a 3. And definitely check that out. Nathan's dad and I enjoyed that cigar a couple days ago, and he really, really enjoyed it. So I would highly recommend checking that one out for sure. Sorry we didn't give you that enough time, but...
So really great stuff. So we're going to wrap it up for today's Smokes episode. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap the subscribe button. Just
tap it in. Tap it in.
Every time.
The easiest way to listen to our show is ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or any of the chicks on your phone. Hey, Juanita, play podcast. Subscribe and Smokes. You always have the latest episode on your phone that way. We love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. We love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day. Our handle on there is @SipSudSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with a thousand of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode 5 stars if you're listening to us online. That's a great big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well.
Dude, you suck.
Okay, so... yeah, they don't have a button for that. Thanks for being here, good old boy Nathan.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. It's been fun.
Yeah, great stuff from Crown Ads. Thanks, good old boy Barker.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you, good old boy Justin.
Thanks. Keep on smoking.
For sure. Well, I hope you get a chance to definitely check out, you know, the product line here from Crown Ads. It was really great, you know, to go back and enjoy, you know, the whole flight of these. Sorry we didn't get as much time to talk about the Mil Diaz. Products. Yeah. For sure. Don't let that fly under your radar.
Please don't.
And if you see the Headley Grange drumsticks, definitely grab those while you can. Well, this is good old boy Mike asking you to come back, enjoy another episode, and to keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see y'all next time.